KPBS On Demand is supported by the San Diego County Toyota Dealers, presenting a new 2025 RAV4 with on- and off-the-road versatility and available all-wheel drive with gas, hybrid, and plug-in options available. Visit your Toyota dealer for more. The San Diego County Toyota Dealers. We make it easy.
Good morning, I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. It's Friday, November 21st. Immigration lawyers are working to find legal strategies to free detainees. More on that next, but first, let's do the headlines. San Diego Congressman Scott Peters announced new federal legislation yesterday to limit the use of force by federal immigration enforcement agents. Peters and other Democratic lawmakers say the bill would require officers to wear clear identification and keep body and vehicle cameras on at all times. It would also set strict limits on use of force. Advocacy groups say the bill would bring much-needed transparency and oversight, and it could help reduce the fear spreading through immigrant neighborhoods. North County Transit is receiving a grant that will cut emissions on some North County roads. The grant is almost $17 million. It will be used to replace buses that run on compressed natural gas with clean air buses. Because they're replacing buses at the end of their life with new buses, they say it will also reduce delays caused by mechanical failures. The buses operate on the Breeze route out of a facility in Escondido. NCTD says more than 2 million riders were transported on those routes in 2024. The San Diego FC Soccer Club is looking to give back as they face Minnesota United FC in the second round of the MLS playoffs. The team is collecting non-perishable food items through their One City, One Table food drive. Fans attending the match can donate items at every entrance of Snapdragon Stadium, or you can bring food items to the club's store, 18 Threads in Mission Valley, or donate directly to the Jacobs and Cushman San Diego Food Bank. Every dollar donated allows the food bank to provide two meals to someone in need. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
KPBS On Demand is supported by UC San Diego's Art Power, presenting Mo Willems' Don't Let the Pigeon Drive the Bus, the musical, with music by Deborah Wicks LaPuma, Saturday, November 22nd at UC San Diego's Epstein Family Amphitheater at UC San Diego. Tickets at artpower.ucsd.edu.
As the Trump administration has detained a record number of immigrants, lawyers nationwide are working together to find legal strategies to free them. Reporter Gustavo Solis reports on how these informal networks are succeeding.
Immigration lawyers who lived through the first Trump term knew they were in for a fight after he got elected to a second term last year. Stacy Tolchin remembers the chaos of family separations and the Muslim travel ban, and she mentally prepared for the second round to be even more chaotic.
It's really much worse than I even contemplated it would be at the beginning of the year.
Tolchin has watched the Trump administration strip students of their visas, deport people to dangerous prisons, and launch violent immigration sweeps across the country. She has helped dozens of immigrants fight deportations in court. And she says each case feels like a battle against the most powerful country on earth.
We need warriors. We need people to help us in this fight.
But she's not alone. Lawyers across the country are building informal mentoring networks to coordinate a legal resistance to mass deportations. Collectively, they have filed almost 5,000 federal lawsuits arguing that the Trump administration is illegally detaining immigrants and ignoring due process protections.
We're a really strong community, and I'm so proud of my fellow immigration attorneys who have, without question, stepped up.
Nereya Scholl Woods is a San Diego-based immigration lawyer. She says that she wouldn't know what to do without the help of former colleagues and strangers. They are developing legal strategies in real time, whether it's in person, on the phone, or email chains.
I need your help. Teach me how to do this. And Without question, anyone I've reached out with will get on the phone with me and walk me through it.
And one of the most effective legal strategies right now are federal lawsuits known as writ of habeas corpus petitions. They challenge the government's ability to detain someone indefinitely. As the Trump administration has made it nearly impossible for immigrants in detention to get out on bond or parole programs, habeas petitions are acting as the last line of defense. But they're very complicated to file, according to Justin Brooks, a law professor at the University of San Diego.
The area of habeas law is very narrow, very specific. There's very few practitioners that really even practice in it or fully understand it.
Those with the expertise are helping bridge that knowledge gap. And it seems to be working, at least on a case-by-case basis. Cassandra Lopez, an attorney with Al Otro Lado, says it took her 25 hours to write her first habeas petition. But it got her client out.
Pushing back on behalf of individuals and winning their cases, that's also, really satisfying.
Lopez says that her client had been detained for about 6 months. It's a big individual win, but there are many more who need help.
It doesn't mean that, the whole system's going to change, but it definitely feels satisfying to be pushing back against the Trump administration's unjust and dehumanizing immigration policies and winning and feeling vindicated by the court ruling in our favor that this detention is unlawful.
In response to questions from KPBS about the administration's tactics and the surge in habeas petitions, a Department of Justice spokesperson issued the following statement. Quote, President Trump and the Department of Justice will continue to enforce the law as it is written to defend and protect the safety and security of the American people, unquote. Gustavo Solis, KPBS News.
The county's recent decision to buy a state-of-the-art helicopter is shining a light on a little-known firefighting program. It's not run by a fire agency, but by SDG&E. Environment reporter Tammy Merga says the program supports regional firefighting, but ratepayer advocates question whether customers should be responsible for firefighting.
In August, San Diego Gas and Electric showcased a program many may not know about. Reporters gathered at Gillespie Field in El Cajon to see what the company had at its hangar.
Our helicopters have been in the fights on fires in Del Mar, in Ranch Bernardo, in Mission Valley.
Scott Kreider is SDG&E's president. He showed the helicopters the company uses to fight fires in and around the county.
We are making sure that we are contributing to the safety throughout the region. But
what wasn't
not
shown that day, the company's Sikorsky S-70 Firehawk. It's a helicopter capable of flying in low-light conditions that force most choppers in the county to stay grounded. SDG&E bought one 5 years ago. Their reasoning was because access to night flying aircrafts are limited in the county, but the helicopter was never deployed. Brian DiAgostino is responsible for wildfire mitigation at SDG&E. He says that's because
we did not get the certification we were hoping for.
For the last 5 years, the aircraft sat in Denver, Colorado, waiting for a green light from the Federal Aviation Administration. Rather than continue waiting, DiAgostino says the utility decided to sell the helicopter. For years, CAL FIRE and the county have been fighting fires together. A county pilot flies the helicopters and CAL FIRE makes the water drops. They had been looking for a Firehawk. County officials say owning one would bolster their nighttime firefighting. A deal was made.
Knowing that CAL FIRE could start operating it immediately, it became the best decision for the community that we kind of hand this over.
The sale price is $31 million. SDG&E says it will break even. DiAgostino says buying the helicopter did not have any impact on customer rates because
it's not until you take full delivery and put something into operations that then it transitions over and the ratepayers start to pay for it. In this particular case, it never got to that point that it was certified and operating.
As part of the sale, SDG&E agreed to pay the county up to $5 million annually through 2035. The county says it will use that money to help with debt financing and operational costs. If the California Public Utilities Commission allows it, SDG&E could recover that money in customer rates over time. But ratepayer advocates like Bill Powers argue that investments in firefighting should be left to fire agencies.
It's a stretch to say, well, we're going to buy a helicopter for ourselves just to back up other agencies who have a primary responsibility to fight fires because we're good citizens.
SDG&E's aviation investments are one of several projects in its wildfire mitigation plan. State regulators require power companies to prepare these plans and show how their electrical lines and equipment are reducing wildfire risk. Customers repay the cost of those investments over time through rates if the regulators approve. Powers again.
The mitigation program that ratepayers are paying for is supposed to be to minimize or eliminate ignition sources, not to deal with fires after they have occurred. That's an important function. It's just not a function of an electric utility.
But SDG&E says firefighting assets are one vital way the company protects the community from wildfires. D'Agostino says,
for those who kind of say, hey, stay in your own lane, a lot of it is protecting the community from wildfire is all of our lanes.
Even small fires can damage the electrical system. So by working with the county to keep fires as small as possible,
you end up spending a lot less money on having to rebuild the system.
Cal Fire and county officials applaud the deal with SDG&E. Jeff Collins is the county fire director. He called the sale a helpful opportunity.
Because how quickly we can get that helicopter into service versus ordering something brand new.
The Firehawk is expected to be ready next fall after it's outfitted to Cal Fire standards. Tammy Murga, KPBS News.
Around 2,500 athletes from around the country are in San Diego this week for the USA Pickleball National Championships. The players are both professionals and amateurs. This is the 20th year for the championships, but USA Pickleball Chief Marketing Officer Jose Moreno says the sport really gained traction during the pandemic.
A lot of people were stuck indoors. They wanted to get outside. They wanted to be active. And pickleball was historically a 55 and over community sport, but people realized that this is a sport that brings community together.
He says both young and old can pick up the sport relatively quickly and have fun playing it. The tournament runs through Sunday at the Barnes Tennis Center in Point Loma. The total prize purse is nearly $250,000. As we do for you each and every Friday on the pod, here are some weekend event ideas for you and yours. Birch Aquarium just opened a new exhibit. It's called Meditation Ocean, Aquarius Reef Base, and it's being described as a meditation space inspired by the world's only undersea research habitat. Visitors will experience simulated underwater spaces and relaxing ambient reef sounds. And as the holiday season begins, the Rady Children's Ice Rink is now open. The rink is in its ninth year at Liberty Station and will be open through January 4th. Profits from the rink go to the Thriving After Cancer program at Rady Children's Hospital. That's it for the podcast today. This podcast is edited by Brooke Ruth. This podcast is hosted and produced by me, Lawrence K. Jackson. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. Thanks for listening and have a great weekend.
KPBS On Demand is supported by Paint Care, offering households and businesses in California more than 800 leftover paint drop-off sites for recycling. Quantities of 100-plus gallons of paint may qualify for a large volume pickup. Learn more at paintcare.org.